Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where two friends stare at the sun. As always, I am the master of karate, Zach, and joined with me is the master of friendship,
Zach.
And happy Eclipse Day in Colorado!
We fought the day, man.
Yes, we fought the night, man. Wait. We lived as the day, man. And everything is good.
Isn't it technically the night, man, fought the day, man, and won for a brief moment? Well, I guess he won for a brief moment.
No, it's the struggle, and then the day, man, prevailed.
Good point, good point. Right. I got to do a quick shout-out to the new intro. It is the Press Start VIP remix by MDK. They were so nice enough to let us use this royalty-free and license-free. So shout-out to those guys. If you want to hear more of their stuff, just search for MDK on YouTube or just even Google, you'll find him. It's some pretty fun electronica stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, awesome, man. And with this week, like I said, it's the Eclipse week. And I think everyone worried about attacking the Fire Nation, something.
A little too much.
See, we're trying to figure out whether or not, like, what tropes are associated with the Eclipse. So there's the attacking of the Fire Nation. There's everyone staring and receiving superpowers from heroes.
There was the SpongeBob, the guy staring at Neptune too long and his eyes were burning. Saw that a couple times.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to find all the, like, ridiculous memes or whatnot, and no one posted any Heroes memes, so I think they're not relevant anymore, and they haven't been relevant for a long time.
Well, they tried to bring it back, and then the second series was just god-awful, so everyone's like, yeah, I think we're done with this.
Yeah, I know the original concept for Heroes was, like, every season was going to be about a different group of people, but everyone got so attached by the original characters.
Freaking Zachary. That was like, wasn't that Zachary Levi's like jumping off point? Like
Zachary Quinto.
So that's right.
Zachary Levi was in the second series.
Right.
He was also known as Chuck.
That's right. I'm getting my Zachs mixed up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was like the first major role I remember Zachary Quinto in.
What was his character's name? It was so edgy.
Siler.
That's right. God. Oh,
made that name, though.
I feel like that started, like, the trend of the edge. Because I honestly have never heard the term edgelord until, like, recently.
Really?
Like, the last couple of years.
And that was a really popular thing in middle school for me. Like,
was it?
We were talking about edgelords.
I thought it was just, like,
people like Sasuke or Neo. Those were the edgelords. Because I think South Park really popularized it.
Really?
During the Goth Stan episode.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Speaking of TV, Defenders came out last week, and we, as a quote-unquote family of the Z2 household, watched the first two episodes together.
Yes.
What were your initial thoughts?
Because
I watched a little further than you did.
It had a very slow start for me. Apparently, episode 3 is when it actually kicks off, so it's like, oh, well, of course, I didn't watch the one episode where it actually picks up. They really were like, hey, look at all the characters from all the other shows. We got to bring all of them in because they're relevant.
Right.
It was literally like the TV version of Avengers, but at half the speed.
Right. And that's actually what I likened it to when we were watching. I was joking around. I'm like, oh my God, this is like the Netflix version of seeing all the Avengers together, but none of them are together.
I mean, they're even referring to the TV. This is the end of phase one of the TV show, which is literally what they did with Avengers.
Yeah. I mean, it creates like solid little building blocks as a timeline, because if you think about it, none of the phase movies other than like Guardians of the Galaxy is in asynchronous movement. Like, yeah, Spider-Man's gonna take place after Captain America Civil War. All right, Black Panther is going to take place after all of these other events that built up. But yeah, actually episode 3 is when things start ramping up. That's actually when all four of the Defenders finally get in the same scene. But it is cool that the very first meeting of the Defenders, the Mighty Avengers, is Danny and Luke.
Right.
And I'm like, that's the most,
like, the most
fitting
iconic duo.
Luke and Jessica meeting.
Right.
Back in Jessica Jones.
I liked what they did. I liked that. I mean, we noticed it very quickly was the use of colors. Like, every hero had their own color. Daredevil had the red. Luke Cage had the yellow. Danny had green, and then Jessica had, like, blues and purples.
Yeah, we were joking around. It's like, oh, I know what character scene this is, because they always do that panning shot.
Luke Cage always had some backtracking, like, R&B or hip-hop, too. It was
I loved it.
I like it, but at the same time, this seems a little cheesy that literally every scene he's in is like, oh, yo, he's in Harlem again.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, back in like early 2000s TV shows where they had a character show up and they played their theme track when they walk up. So it was kind of cool. And one of the things I appreciate is they actually fixed a lot of Iron Fist's fight scenes compared to the Iron Fist TV show. Like, there's less jump cuts. You can tell they still, like... Because back, if you watch the Iron Fist show, you can tell they do everything in slow motion and then speed it up for the show.
Hmm.
Whereas this, it almost seems like real time.
Except when he used the Iron Fist for the first time. It seems like they toned down that slow. It's like, oh, you got to see the slow-mo. You got to see Luke Cage actually get hit for once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a really cool scene. And like I said, watching a little bit further, it seems like a lot of the characters have their proper dynamics. But something I tweeted Gabe about was that I didn't like Danny still.
Yeah, he was probably my least favorite. I haven't watched Daredevil season 2 or finished season 1, but I like Matt now more than I liked him in Daredevil season 1.
You would like him a lot in season 2.
Okay. I just couldn't get through the rest of season 1. Like, I got to the hallway fight scene, I'm like, all right, that's really cool. And then Matt's just kind of back to brooding about everything.
Right. Well, season 2 of Daredevil is a lot more interesting because you do have that central villain, and kind of Matt adopts his role as the devil of Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
But one of the things Dom and Gabe and I talked about on Twitter, like, just super briefly, I'm like, that's not my Danny. That's not the Danny I grew up in Marvel Comics. He's normally the happy-go-lucky. He's kind of like the jokester of the Defenders. Whereas this one, as Dom says, always looks worried, and he gets his ass kicked all the time. I'm like, yeah, that's not my Danny. And granted, it's like the early version of his career, but it's still so hard to have that disconnect between the Power Man and Iron Fist comic written by David Walker, and then the new Defenders comic by Bendis, and then seeing Finn Jones as this really kind of whiny Danny.
Yeah. It's like he took too much of his Loras character from Game of Thrones, like near the end where Loras is being beaten and stuck in a dungeon for an entire season.
Yeah.
Where he's just depressed the whole time.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm really hoping, I'm about halfway through, and like Steve said, it starts ramping up at episode 3. I just finished episode 4, and I'm going to have to find time later this week to watch the rest, because I'm actually more invested in this. Like, I never finished the Iron Fist show proper because it's like, I know who Iron Fist is. I don't really need to watch this, right?
Yeah. I was excited for Luke Cage when I finished Jessica Jones, but I never got around to actually watching it.
It's good.
Yeah, I've heard it's good, like, but they kill off, like, the better of the two villains, which people are really upset by.
Yeah, but hey, comic books, they always come back.
True.
Bucky died once, twice.
Yeah, I really hope they actually elaborate on what the villain's actual goals are, because they haven't said anything.
Right.
It's just like, we have a plan, we have to ramp it up.
And I told you, it's Arrow season 1. They want to destroy Hell's Kitchen, probably.
Yeah, of course. But it's like, all right, what is her actual goals behind this? Because they've clearly established she is on a very strict timetable of she can die within the next, like, month or two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, what is her actual motivation for doing all this?
Right.
Rather than just going out with a bang.
Yeah. And I actually do appreciate Sigourney Weaver's character. She's an original character in the Netflix Marvel universe, and even totally new from, like, any of the comics. But she kind of plays up this persona of an ice queen. But one of the things Sigourney Weaver tried to do with the producers was that she didn't want to be the stereotypical troped ice queen. Like, they made her character very different in terms of personality and actions, so that's interesting. I really need to see more of what her character wants. Like you said, the motivations are kind of unclear.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, it's interesting so far.
Yeah, I
find time to finish it.
Yeah, I like it better than Iron Fist. Like, if Steve were here, you'd be supporting Iron Fist. Like I said, it just wasn't my cup of tea. I don't like that version of Danny. Like I said, I have my comic books if I really wanted to have Danny again. So,
right. Anywhoozle.
Anywho, one big thing that came out this week was the casting for the Good Omens movie or TV series?
TV series. It's going to be 6 one-hour episodes on Amazon.
Ooh, I have Amazon.
Yeah.
So who's in it, Zach?
So we got David Tennant playing Crowley and Martin Sheen as, I'm going to butcher the name, Aziraphale. Yeah. So they're going to be the two leads, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, if you don't know, Good Omens itself is a Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett book. And the show is going to be set in 2018 on the brink of an apocalypse as humanity prepares for a final judgment. But Aziraphale, a somewhat fussy angel, and Crowley, a demon, aren't enthusiastic about the end of the world and can't seem to find the Antichrist. Sheen will play, you already said those two things. And beyond that, Amazon hasn't commented as anything else.
This report was from Variety,
right?
As well, so
Sheen said he read Good Omens as a teenager, and it's been one of his favorites. I mean, that's how I feel about every Neil Gaiman book.
I freaking love David Tennant, especially after seeing his dramatic, like, just his diversity and like how flexible he is as an actor.
Yeah, did you see him as Barty Crouch Jr. licking his lips in Goblet of Fire?
Yeah, and then freaking just the maniacal madman that is the Purple Man in Jessica Jones.
Right, and then you have the giant juxtaposition of the Doctor.
Yeah.
And actually, I feel like David Tennant's Doctors is one of the best ones who shows like his inner darkness.
Yeah,
of carrying like all that weight.
His was always like he is the best and the worst of all the Doctors. Like he always strives to do everything to the best of his ability, but every now and again he has to make that dark choice,
or he has to just learn to let go. Like,
yeah,
Rose, River, everyone. I still remember the first time you ever watched Doctor Who
was the Tennant's last episode.
Yeah, you're like, this looks good. I'm like, this is the last episode of the season. And you're like, huh. Okay. It's on Netflix? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited for that. And then speaking of other like mysticism, Mystic U is coming back. This was originally a DCU title that never came out.
Oh.
It was this in Dark Universe, and then Dark Universe got folded into Tynan's Hellblazer series that he co-wrote.
Okay.
But Mystic U, the way you put it is Zatanna goes to Hogwarts.
That's
you
how the that's how the article had it. This is from IGN. So pretty much it's going to be Mystic U will focus on young Zatanna and four other magician peers, Felix Faust's son, Sebastian, the Enchantress, magical prodigy Sargon, the Sorcerer, and new character Paya Morales. Series will follow their growth in the magical arts, while also exploring the mystery of which of these five spellcasters will fall to darkness and betray the others. So they're doing the Dead Man, Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love style.
So the Prestige format, where it's the larger...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be 3 issues. Written by...
Alyssa Quitney.
Yes.
Who many people know. She did some work on Sandman, I think. Hang on.
The artist is Mike Norton.
And he did Revival.
Yeah. It sounds cool.
Yeah. So Alyssa Quitley, she did work on Sandman. She worked on the Destiny miniseries back in 1996. Destiny, A Chronicles of Death's Foretold. Dude, Gaiman is getting the rounds right now.
Yeah, really.
It's pretty cool.
It's coming out in November. End of November. Damn it. They had the perfect chance to release in October.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, Zatanna's like one of my personal favorites. And would you consider Zatanna a B-list just because of how little she shows up?
I feel like
she's like in the middle,
relatively known character, but she is.
She's like in the middle of A and B.
Yeah, it's like, I feel this way about a lot of the DC magic characters is like, Zatanna's one who has no limits. Even in the recent detective arc, Tynan even said it's like, yeah, Zatanna has to be the stage musician, magician, so she can ground herself to reality because she can bend reality to her own will at any point in time. I'm like, you know what?
That's kind of totally terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always loved Zatanna. Like, I think her, the fact that she has to say everything in reverse is just an interesting twist on magic casting.
Yeah, it's kind of like
the
limit.
It's kind of like the same way, like, I like Nico. Mm-hmm. With how she has to come up with different words and synonyms for the same kind of things,
right?
Like I think it was either A-Force or Young Avengers or some book she was in where she was like, yeah, I started picking up Slavic languages to get more healing, healing spells.
I need more healing.
Yeah,
always need more healing. Did you see the preview for Runaways?
I did, yes. It looks freaking gorgeous.
Yeah, it's Anka. It's Anka, and I think Matt Wilson's doing colors on it.
I believe so.
So
Matt Wilson, God.
Yeah, his color work is... It makes everything pop. Another it's level. So vibrant. Yeah, I remember...
There was that comparison with... I think it was McKelvey.
Yeah.
Was it McKelvey?
Yeah, McKelvey and
He's
Wilson.
He's like, here's the inks. Now here's all the colors.
Yeah, and it Do just made that difference? Pop. Yeah. But other hypey things that are coming out, the Obi-Wan movie
allegedly
has been, well, no, they confirmed that there is development on an Obi-Wan movie.
Very early stages, as in they don't even have a script or anything for it.
And everyone's going to riot if they don't bring back Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. There was also the whole news of there was going to be a freaking
Jabba the Hutt
story.
Yeah,
I'm just like, who the fuck cares about that?
Okay. I can defend it.
Oh my god.
But let's talk more about Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan makes more sense. I wish they, with these anthology movies, they would break out of the original trilogy a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting so... It's like, we already had Rogue One. It's like, oh, it's an anthology that actually ties into the main trilogy.
But it's not counted for prequel memes.
No, it's not. Because it's not a prequel.
Yep. But like with Obi-Wan, like I feel like Ewan McGregor is at that age where he would be able to play a solid like post Revenge of the Sith Obi-Wan movie. Like I would love more Clone Wars stories. I love the Clone Wars as an entire arc and time
period. I feel
like
we've done that story enough though. I think we've gotten.
But there's always more.
Yeah, but I don't know if it'd be as interesting as something new.
That's fair.
Like, I like Dr. Aphra because it's this new character, and we don't know where her story is going to go. Like, she's been involved with the original crew, she's been involved with Vader, but she also has her own storyline now, dicking around, being a space archaeologist.
Space pirate. She's a space Indiana Jones, the more
yeah,
I realize
pretty
it.
Much.
But she doesn't have
She has Indiana's, no morals.
Yeah, she doesn't have those morals. But, like I said, if they do, like, a cross between, like, A New Hope and Revenge of the Sith... It makes me wonder what the story is going to be because he just like, what did he do on freaking Tatooine
yeah, like,
for 20 years?
Yeah, seriously. Like, I don't know because he obviously had to keep himself hidden, but did he slip? I mean, he probably slipped up early on.
Like the only, and one of my favorite things, it's a statue that got released maybe like 2 years ago, but it's like old man Obi. You see grays in his beard, but he's wearing his old Clone Wars armor with his Jedi robe still, and he has this large pack, and I'm like, that's the story I want told. I want to figure out what he's doing.
It'd be kind of cool if the story revolved about him trying to, I don't know, maybe fight. He runs into Rex and they reconcile.
They never,
or like, well, he never
we see
no,
that
no,
point
that was Cody
already.
Who shot him.
Yeah, we see that point though. We see the rebel. We see Ezra meet with Obi-Wan at the like a. Twin Suns episode in the last season of Rebels, but he knows Ezra's a Jedi, but doesn't do anything. He just tells him, it's like, you need to leave. And then it's like, there is still hope. And then looks over at the Skywalker ranch and it's like, oh god damn it, tease. But the Jabba the Hutt movie, I've actually heard, like, if this is a real thing, I realize it could be a straight up like gangster film.
It could be, but
but penning it as a Jabba the Hutt movie doesn't
yeah,
really
doesn't,
sell.
No, it doesn't. Like, does that mean it's going to be from their perspective, or does it mean it's going to involve them and then there's these gangsters that work for him?
We know Tatooine's been under, like, the Hutt Empire since Phantom Menace, and Jabba was...
around them.
Then he was... Whatever his position is on Tatooine, like lead mobster / ruler of Tatooine or whatever, it would be interesting to see how he got to that point almost. Because a lot of the other huts we've seen, like Gracchus, the hut where he has like spider legs underneath him and he is actually like a buff hut, or I think Zero's the baby. I'm trying to think the other like really effeminate hut from Clone Wars.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Where he is like another mobster trying to overthrow Jabba. He's the one that kidnapped Zero.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I can almost defend it and see a genre fall within it. There's
so much else they could do.
Yeah.
You know, something I honestly like, what people would probably ride over would be an Ahsoka movie.
That's fair.
Like, leading up to Rebels. Like, yeah, it would tie back into the original trilogy, but not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, it would
like
follow...
have it take place after the novel. Because there's a lot of time there.
Yeah, I think that's about...
It's at least 20 years.
Yeah, her on the run is quite a bit of time, but the novel is about maybe like 2-3 years before her appearance in Rebels.
Right.
Damn,
is that it? I thought she was much older in Rebels.
She was in her like 20s, late 20s. Hmm. Because the Fall of the Jedi was 18 years prior to New Hope, if you count Luke's age. So she would be in her late 20s, early 30s. By human standards. But for the Ahsoka movie, I would love to see the that scrap season where they go back to Mandalore and fight for it. And they overthrow Darth Maul as the leader of the Mandalorians.
Right. Although, it'd be cool to see a live-action Darth Maul again, but I feel like they've overdone his story in Rebels and Clone Wars. Like, he just kept coming back.
He's a cockroach.
Like, stop.
Yeah.
I'm just so done with you.
Yeah.
Even though his, like, final scene with Obi-Wan was really cool, I was just kind of tired of seeing him at that point.
Yeah. Rachel always describes him as the cockroach. And I totally understand that. And I love his character in Rebels because he's not vengeance. He's like, I need someone else to get my vengeance. He's like the evil Obi-Wan.
He's like,
he's the mentor. He's the evil Gandalf.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I'm done.
Sauron. Fighting. They call him Sauron.
He's like, I've done my fighting. I've lost enough.
Lost my legs. Lost the other half of my lightsaber. My brother's dead. Shit. As excited as I am for the Obi-Wan movie, like Rogue One was a good film. I am cautiously optimistic about the Han Solo movie. More than anything else.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Like, Ron Howard's had some good movies, and he's also had some really not so great
movies.
Well,
it makes me wonder, because you have Phil Lord and Christopher Miller as the original directors, and then they left over creative differences. So I wonder if that was Disney, Lucas coming in, and they didn't like what they saw, and then they plugged in Ron Howard, and it's like, you need to finish the rest of the script our way. Like,
yeah,
the original...
It's that same... Do you worry that they're starting to try to apply the Marvel formula to everything?
I worry about it because originally Gary Whitta was the original writer for Rogue One. And
he still was.
He's part of the writing team. Like, they revised his script and he wasn't actually like on set as much.
Right, because yeah, I always remember the first tease of like that dark, it looked like a war movie.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that wasn't there at all.
And they reshot a lot of those scenes where you actually see an alternate K2SO death in the deleted scenes that you can find on like YouTube or whatever. But it's K2SO dying on the beach, where you would assume that's the same moment where Jin and Cassian are
running. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I said, with Star Wars, I just have such a firm attachment to it. It's really hard for me not to be critical of the things that are going to come out. But it's like Disney, they're going to get my money. Whatever. And I can be like, wow, the Han Solo movie sucked. Guess I gotta wait for the new Star Wars movie.
The one that's coming out next year.
Yeah, I feel so bad for Rian Johnson, though. Because it's like, he had to deal with J.J. Abrams. It's like, yeah, Luke's on this planet. I don't know why, but he's there. Have fun explaining it.
Figure that out.
Yeah. And Gareth Edwards, man. Like... It's so cool they have all these fans that grow up to work on these things.
Well, it's... Rooster Teeth's even talked about that on their podcast with like the founders, of how they think that all their fans that have come to work on the properties have done a better job than they did, because they understand the characters more than they actually ever did.
Yeah, it's like this latest season, Red versus Blue, where they had a brand new writer who
and director,
brand new writer, director, and character. He voiced someone in the series, Dax. But his only experience with Red versus Blue, other than watching, was he did the brick animation for season 14, and like with Miles. Luna, who was also a writer director on Red versus Blue, he at least wrote some episodes with Bernie and then got full reins for the Chorus trilogy.
Honestly, like, I think the Chorus trilogy is one of the best things that we've gotten from Red versus Blue. The Freelancer arc is definitely the best, but I would say the Chorus trilogy is right under there for me.
Yeah. I'm just such a diehard person. It goes like Freelancer arc, Blood Gulch Chronicles, and then the Re-Trilogy.
Yeah, the Re-Trilogy is great, too, just because it was such a dramatic shift for the series.
Yeah, it was necessary, and it's like, I remember back when we burned Red vs. Blue onto our iPods, and we had all five seasons, and it's like, oh, man, I'm going to watch this as I go to sleep, and it's like, those Halo 2 graphics on a 320-pixel screen, it's like, yeah, this is great.
That resolution.
Yeah. Speaking of resolution, though, I need some resolution because Jim Lee made a, or was it Jim Lee?
Yeah, it was Jim Lee.
Yeah, Jim Lee made a
about it.
Tweet like how he met with Jonathan Hickman at a Warner Brothers lot just to talk and hang out. And I'm like, as cool it is to have
lunch.
Yeah, as cool as it is to have all these comic book writers hang out together and be friends. Like, oh my God, Scott Snyder works out with John Romita Jr., calls Greg Capullo's brother, hangs out with Charles Soule and Sean Gordon Murphy. Like, he's legitimately friends with all of these people. Meets James Tynan at a bar to discuss Batman. But it's like, okay, this is Jonathan Hickman meeting with the co-chief editor at DC. Something's up.
Yeah. Here's the actual tweet from Jim Lee. It's actually pretty hilarious. Having lunch with at John Hickman at the Warner Brothers commissary. World domination plans on hold as we succumb to the temptation of avocado toast.
That's amazing.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, at San Diego Comic-Con, I think it was Didio and Jim Lee who were talking about Legion, because that's all fans ask. And the response was, I love the Legion too, and let's just say that any character or group that's not out there, there are plans for them. It was Jim Lee. It's a really a matter of timing and people's schedules lining up. It's actually a pretty complicated process. You were talking about Doomsday Clock and Rebirth and the 2-year unveiling, or wait until the main story. It's akin to that. So it's like, it's actually cool seeing them line things up like they're waiting. And I mean, I hate shitting on Marvel as much as we do. Like, granted, we are like a DC fanboy podcast.
Deserved right now. Like, even Marvel fans have been complaining. So
yeah, but it's like they're waiting down that pipeline in terms of story and even commercial. Like, there's the new Black Lightning comic book coming out by Tony Isabella, which is reinventing the character with elements of the TV show. But like, when Marvel releases comics, it's like, all right, the movie's coming out, we have to go back to basics. And granted, like, they did the same thing with Batman and Super Heavy, but it was, like, plotted out. It wasn't like, fresh reboot, panic button. And this makes me curious, too, because, like,
it's kind of big because after Hickman left Marvel, it sounded like he was done with the big two.
Right.
Everybody
kind of like fractioned.
Yeah, everybody thought he was just, that was it, no more. He's just going to be doing his image and creator own stuff.
Well, Aja even took a break from comics after working with Marvel.
Well, they just got him and Fraction just got shafted because the last issue got delayed for like 6 months, and they're like, yeah, we don't know what the hell's going on. It's been done for a while.
Yeah, and I think Aja's coming back to work for Dark Horse with Karen Beecher, I think, the former Vertigo editor. So it makes me wonder, like, if DC is able to nail Hickman, what is he going to create? Because Hickman's storytelling is just out of this world. Like,
it's like Morrison level, like, complexity.
Yeah, he tweeted a picture of the Doctor Who River Song, like, timeline, and it's like a spiral because, you know, clocks, Doctor Who. And he's like, this is up my alley. And I'm like, oh my God, he just discovered Doctor Who. But having a next level writer like that at DC, I mean, DC's been nailing it with their writers. And even recently, we were talking about this at the gym the other day. Sam Humphries is leaving Green Lanterns. He still has a contract with DC. It's like, I'm leaving it.
Else.
I'm leaving because I received an offer I couldn't refuse. And then the next writer is going to take care of Jessica and Simon. Don't worry. And this is one of those things. It's like the Scott Lobdell approach. People hated Humphries at Marvel. Mm-hmm. Like, people hated his Guardians of the Galaxy. They hated his Star-Lord. But something shifted. And it's like, someone was like, I'm actually generally bummed out Humphries is leaving Green Lantern. It's like, even though both of these characters were made by Geoff Johns, I feel like I've grown to love and understand them.
Again, the day in the life issue was what sold it on me. Yeah. I was like, this, he understands.
I got you to start reading it so I can read your copies.
Well, I picked it up originally, fell off a little bit, and then
the next arc.
I'm pretty sure I saw like screen caps of the day in the life issue. I'm like, what issue is this? I need to fucking read this.
It was the moment where Jessica's sitting by her bed.
Grounding herself. Just like, oh my God, he gets it.
Yeah.
He fucking gets it.
And now we have Tim Seeley taking over. So Seeley is now writing Nightwing. He's going to be writing Green Lanterns starting at issue 34. He just took out...
I thought it was 32.
I think 33 was Humphrey's last issue.
Okay.
And then he took over Hellblazer this month from Copiel.
I feel like he might be interim on some of those.
Yeah, but...
Until I find someone else, or hell.
He also has a Vertigo series that's coming out next month, and he just announced a new Aftershock series. So it's like, Seeley's kind of taking that approach. Like, we look at Jeff Lemire, who just becomes this workhorse, and I'm like, I can get behind this. As soon as Seeley got announced for Green Lanterns, I'm like, maybe I should start picking this up, because I love Seeley.
I feel like he'll do it right. For me, it's going to be like, how does he write Jessica? Like, I think I imagine he's going to write her similar to how he does Sean, because I see a lot of similarities in those characters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so
even any of the Runaways, like, even there's such a marginal comic book, the Runoffs. Not the Runaways. They're such a marginal group within the Grayson storyline, but they're all distinct and different from each other.
And they're all your favorite C-lists. C&D.
They're straight up D-list.
Fucking Pigeon.
Dude, Bawana Beast, though, he's coming back. He made one appearance in JLA recently. They're building him up for his Legends of Tomorrow continuity.
Hype chairs.
Read Grant Morrison's Bawana Beast issues, and you will be like, holy fuck.
Do I need to take LSD before I do that?
No, that's only if... I keep finding myself in these situations where I have to explain Danny the Street to people, and they're like...
Yeah, because that's not a normal thing people read.
How is an ambulance or even a street gay? Well, actually, Danny likes to cross-dress sometimes, so when he becomes a street, he puts, like, dress shops up in the street depending on his mood.
What? You just made that concept
I'm not
even
making
more
that
fucking
up.
Bizarre.
It's great. Speaking of other great things.
And here I thought that whole story couldn't get any weirder.
No, it gets crazier. But speaking of crazy stories, we get the first images of the Doomsday Clock variant or covers. So we have both of them by Gary Frank and B. Anderson. We finally have The End is Here. And then we have a picture of Supes standing in front of Manhattan. But Bleeding Cool also released a variant, or a leaked variant, which is the Trinity in the shape of the Rorschach ink blot mask. So it's like, it's that moment where it's like, oh, the hype chain, start chugging along.
Choo-choo.
Like, other than Metal, I haven't been so excited for a DC event. Like, this is going to be something crazy.
I'm very curious as to what it's going to lead to, since everything's supposed to... This is only, like... This is, what, the second part to this whole build-up to year two of Rebirth? This will be the halfway point to that second year.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
It's already crazy.
I know. Especially something like Metal.
Yeah.
God.
Like, you had to explain so many things to me. I'm like, what was that?
Fucking hyperadapter! I was right, Barbados, motherfuckers. I was telling my coworkers, I'm like, last week I went to a comic book shop at midnight to go get a midnight release of a $5 comic. And everyone's like, yeah, that's actually really cool. Like, you did something you're passionate about up at midnight. And it's like, yeah, I was up till 2 a.m. taking notes on this comic book. And they're like,
now you lost.
God, you're such a nerd. I had to explain to one of my coworkers what D&D was.
Really?
He's a little kind of like, he's a very reserved person, so.
Oh, is this the new guy?
Yeah, the new guy. I'm like, yeah, dude, I was playing D&D with my friends, and they're like, what's D&D? Is that like a video game? I'm like, nah, it's a board game, and you role play. It's like, okay, I'm not into board games. I'm like, oh, that's fine. Don't worry.
Neither am I, but I like D&D.
Yeah, we had such a good session yesterday.
That was a good one.
That was so much fun. More D&D things later, maybe. We had to figure out our characters, voices, and whatnot. And then the last thing that we saw in the news was Karen Gillan wants to play the Joker.
In Flashpoint. Which is interesting since we literally only see the Joker once in the animated movie.
Yeah, she has a larger story.
Okay, in the actual book?
No.
No?
Yes, kind of. It's a spinoff comic.
Okay.
So when Flashpoint came out, it was like a dead halt on everything. And then you have Flashpoint presents this character. Flashpoint presents this character. Okay. Like, you didn't really miss too much on the Superman story. That one was like, that was really depressing.
Because he's just locked up the whole
time.
He's
a lab rat. He fell in love with Lois. He had a dog. He remembers his dog, but they won't show him.
Aww.
Crypto. We get a lot more resolution with the Joker. Like, one of Thomas Wayne's final moments was that he tells his wife that Bruce became Batman, and she just starts crying in his arms, and it's like, oh man, it's a terrible cycle. Not to be a downer or anything, but Kid Flash, you know, good old Bart Allen, remembers the previous timeline and just got locked up.
Oh, neat.
Oh god, what if Bart Allen comes back? Young Justice Rebirth! Tim and Con and Bart, bring him back! And Cassie, I guess.
They could do it.
It's what everyone wants, like, it's so weird how Detective has, like, exploded. Like, it used to be straight-up detective stories, like Francis Manipal and everyone else writing it, but now that has this cool team dynamic.
It's like, now it's more detective, or no, Batman action comics.
Yeah. It's, I would agree. It's, like, just nonstop on rails the
entire
time.
Like, even Batwoman's getting, like, in on that storyline. Because with the most recent one, it jumps 5 years in the future, and Tim has become this, Batman. Like, dictator Batman.
I dig it. Like, it makes me... I literally got shocked by it. I'm like,
I was like,
what?
Yeah, well, I was like, all right, who went insane? Was it Damian? Oh, no, Tim makes Tim makes a lot more sense now, but what... It's like, all right, now it makes you question, like, what the fuck happens to Tim then in Detective? Because obviously, because Tynan and Marguerite Bennett are good friends, so I imagine they're bouncing ideas off each other, like, hey, it'd be cool. I want to do this with Tim Drake's story. Are you doing anything with this? Are you setting this up at
all?
Well,
it's really interesting, too, because it's like, when you read that original issue where it shows Dictator Kate working for the colony, it's like, oh god, Kate went rogue. No, not really.
Actually, the opposite.
And then you see Renee die.
No, not Renee. They share that one kiss. One final kiss.
The more I think about it, because I remember, did you ever read, like, the Trinity of Sin comic?
Is that...
like, with Pandora and Phantom Stranger?
No, I didn't.
In The Question? I keep remembering this one specific scene where it shows Pandora. She's at the Rock of Eternity with all of the different sorcerers, and we see The Question, and someone's like, you will never remember your name. That will always be the question that haunts you. So it's like, it's not Arvik Savage, and it's just a ginger guy who loses his face. And I'm just sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, what if that was Rorschach?
Oh, God.
Like,
that would be
that's
fucking,
totally out there.
That would be, but would we put it past Geoff Johns at this point?
Yeah, like Phantom Stranger got retconned.
We've already seen Pandora get blown up.
Yeah. We saw,
it's possible.
Yeah, we saw Phantom Stranger. Like, his identity got revealed and everyone got pissed off because he's supposed to just be a stranger. No, he's Judas Iscariot. And it's like the reason why he wears all of the coins around his neck is that's because of all the that represents the gold that he was paid to betray Jesus. Oh. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's actually deep and complex for this character. Interesting.
Oh, comics.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I'm really interested in seeing what these things become. So on that note, we're just going to go ahead and transition into our discussion question just between the two of us.
Discussions.
Yeah. Yeezus.
Am I starting?
Yeah, you can start.
Okay, it kind of works with what we've been just talking about.
Okay.
So this has been kind of on my mind, like, especially after I like sorted on like 200 to almost 300 comics this weekend into boxes.
Oh yeah, you're 2 months of stacks.
It was almost 3 months. Like, it was a lot. I let it get out of hand very quick. Moving kind of screwed me over there. But it was kind of on my mind of like a lot of the stuff I read, a lot of it just I kind of have glossed over. Except, like, there's certain books that, especially, like, superhero books, like Ms. Marvel. I remember the story for Ms. Marvel, like, to my heart, because just it made such an impact, and it tells such a great story. Or, all of my Image books I read, like, I get more excited about those 9 times out of 10 than the average superhero book that I've been reading, which is probably why I've been dropping a lot of the superhero books that I've
Yeah, you're dropping Trinity in, like, the craziest arc right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not that the books are bad. I just haven't been thrilled by it. I think, like, my tastes are starting to change. Like, we had Matt and Marika on, and they don't read any superhero books anymore.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I'm starting to go that way already. Mm-hmm. Especially with some, like, we talked about Sunstone last week, but I've been going through all the volumes.
You're reading it so slowly.
I know.
Says the man who read it.
It's mostly a time thing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to burn through it all because I'm just going to want more. So I'm trying to savor it as much as possible. But it's like, I get so excited to read more of those stories just because they feel more rich. I mean, obviously they don't have that lineage and all this backstory they have to keep up with, and things. I'm not saying like I'm done with superhero books, but I feel like I'm starting to pick and choose which ones I want to keep up with. Like, I feel like they need to have a deeper story,
right? Like, there's certain staples now. Like, you're like, anything Bennett writes, I'll start reading. Anything Snyder touches. Did you hear the new rumor?
What?
Snyder Capullo Swamp Thing miniseries.
Oh my fucking god. Give me that.
It got teased on Reddit earlier.
That would be amazing.
Capullo was like, I'm not saying I'm going to be drawing a Swamp Thing, but if I were drawing Swamp Thing, this is what it would look like. And I'm like, geez, I wonder who Greg Capullo is going to work with on Swamp Thing.
So yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I've been. Like, I've just been kind of like thinking about books on my poll. Like, Wonder Woman I loved with Rucka on it. Now it's just kind of like, eh.
It's a filler.
Yeah, it's a filler. It's like, I don't know if I necessarily want that. Like, I feel like I want every issue to be something that deepens the story more.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Wonder Woman PTSD. Like, Shea Fontaine is doing
it. It's not a bad, like I said, it's not a bad story. I just don't know if it's what I'm looking for. Like, how do you, like, have you done that?
For superheroes right now.
Kind of, yeah. How, is that something you've kind of gone over?
Like, yeah, and sadly, this is actually something I do with a lot of my Marvel titles.
I did that with a ton of them.
Again, I hate saying that I shit on Marvel, but it's like, I was showing Steve, I'm like, this is my DC put away stack, this is my Image and Indie put away stack, and this is my Marvel. Iron Man character, Spider-Man character, Spider-Man character, Spider-Man character, Iron Man character, Spider-Man character. And it's like, one of the reasons I follow Marvel so much is that I like these characters more than maybe I like the writers or creators. Like, I love Peter Parker to death, and I would read anything with Peter in it, especially if, you know, Bendis touches it, because I have such a hard on for him. And there are stories where it's like Green Arrow. I was excited by Green Arrow. I like Ben Percy, but I felt like I was rereading Court of Owls.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And I kind of got that vibe.
I do like having new original content within the things that I absorb. Because you see me, like, I read every night. Like, I have a freaking 1,000-page book I'm reading right now.
And I think that's kind of something I've been wanting more of. Like, I want more time for myself to actually read more stuff like that. And that's why I love the image, like, all the indie and image books. And just the books, actually, like, I feel like I get something out of them. Like, with Batman, like, it's still good and I still enjoy it, and I see like what Tom King does with it. Like, he is telling some deeper message within this book, or like Mr. Miracle, where the whole point is like, I had a panic attack and almost felt like I almost died, so I'm going to tell this story about something similar to that.
Yeah, and it's like, especially with something like Mr. Miracle, like, that blew me out of the water compared to some of the other things King wrote. Like, Vision had a really slow start for me.
Yeah, it did.
And even Omega Men, I do the same thing. I follow characters quite a bit. Like, Kyle Rayner, I love as Green Lantern. I loved his White Lantern thing. I never read his New Guardians, but I just like Kyle. And then I read something called Omega Men that they kill Kyle in the first issue. I'm like, what the fuck is this bullshit? I have to pick up the first issue. Oh, he's not dead. What does this mean? What's going to happen?
Kyle's a terrorist now?
Yeah.
What?
Darkseid is? What?
Yeah, Darkseid is.
But yeah, like, the switch to indie comics, like, I remember telling you to read American Vampire. That was like one of my
I need to
first
catch up on that.
Indie things. Like, you know, Vertigo, Scott Snyder, and Raphael.
Yeah, or Morning Glories.
Yeah.
Like, something like that. I'm like, you're like, it's lost at a boarding school.
Yeah, it was like the best thing ever. And I need to catch up on it.
Yeah, I'm still like, I think I'm like 3 volumes.
I feel like I peer pressure you to read things I like.
A little bit. I mean, I try to find, I want to find stuff that you haven't read.
It's hard.
It's so hard, though, because you catch up so much. I think it's because there's too many superhero books that I just kind of go through week to week. I'm just like, okay, that was it.
Well, it's like, especially, you know, we've lived together for 4 years, coming up on our fifth. We've known each other for a decade, since we were wee little 14-year-old lads. And even our tastes, like, we picked up Wicked and Divine independently. You were in college still picking up the issues, and I was in Aurora picking up the issues. And then we talked about it because we both saw it on Tumblr.
I swear you mentioned it. Yeah. Or, like, maybe it was like, fuck, was it? No, you got me to read Young Avengers.
Kayla got you to read Young Avengers.
Right. And then I think you mentioned, like, oh, yeah, the creator does this book as well.
Yeah. I'm because, like, I never read.
Okay. I saw it.
Finished Gillen's run, I think.
It's so good. I'm bad. It's so fucking good, though.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because a lot of the time when I do indie stuff, I follow creators. Like, when Black Monday Murders got announced.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Like, we both had a misconception. We thought it was the Great Depression, but with demons, which, like, that was just the first issue.
That's just part of it.
Yeah, and it's like, Hickman on Black Monday Murders interested me more week to week than Secret Wars month to month.
Oh, God,
did.
Yes.
And I love Secret Wars.
Wait,
as
did this
a,
come out at the same time?
No.
Oh, like, you're just saying as a comparison.
Yeah, as a comparison. Like, Secret Wars reads amazing in a single sitting, but reading Black Monday Murders month to month gauge my interest way higher because it's like,
right,
I have to reread these things. Or even fucking Grant Morrison and Chris Burnham doing Nameless. That was a comic that I had to think. Like, I had to sit down month to month and reread everything up to the newest issue because it's such a hard story to follow.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I think it's like, it just kind of goes back to the core of, it's not what I'm just not looking for that simple hero story anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I want something, like, I like the medium and I love seeing it used to its fullest potential.
It's very mad of you.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm becoming like Matt. Shit. Not that I'm like, I'm not like, it's like, oh, if you like that stuff, like, great.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm starting to feel like I just want more. I see you like, It kind of goes back to the whole why I love Sunstone so much in those passion projects, because it's a story they wanted to write. Like, in, you see that with superhero books too. Like, oh, they've wanted to write this story for this character, but it kind of, even if they have their own twist on it, it always kind of ends up the same way.
Yeah.
Like, hero beats villain.
Sometimes.
Most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what makes King's Batman so drastically different, is because it's not a
About Batman the hero story. It's
a Bruce Wayne story featuring Batman.
It's like a, it's more of a, I think we even established this in like the first, and he even established this in the first arc. It's a Gotham story.
Yeah.
It's not just Batman just happens to be a piece of it.
Mm-hmm. This is his first blank is kind of thing.
Yeah.
You can see it's like.
Yeah, Batman is. Or, his little I am.
Yeah, I am Gotham. I am Suicide. This is like the first one.
I am Bane.
I am the War of Jokes and Riddles.
Yeah.
Which makes total sense because he's playing two different fields as Bruce Wayne and Batman. And, you know, I do see what you mean because there is something about the way I process things that I kind of need more of. Like, that's why I like Brandon Sanderson so much, is because every goddamn book he writes takes place on another planet featuring different characters, different magic systems, but there's crossing.
Right.
We don't know why these three characters have appeared in every single book. Or it's like, we don't, and then when we get introduced to a character, like one of the characters from White Sands, I just realized who he was in Way of Kings, and Way of Kings came out like 3 years before. I'm like, holy shit, that's Val. I'm like, what is he doing being a world hopper? And like, Chris was another character who appeared in another story. And I'm like, what does this world hopping mean? Why does it exist? And our friend Nick, who we haven't really talked to since high school, this is the only time he and I ever talk, is when he finishes a new Sanderson thing. And we talk about theories. And he made me like, okay, I'm going to go back and read Way of Kings because the third Stormlight Archive book comes out in November. And I need a refresh course on 2,000 pages worth of material.
Right.
So, like I said, it's I really like things that make me think. Like the Swamp Thing Batman issue was like, holy shit, Swamp Thing, why? Or the Rooftops or Kite Man. Like, you know, these smaller stories. And like, it hurts me to even drop creator things. Like, it actually hurts me to drop titles. Like, I hate Fairyland. But I realize Gert's never going to get out for a while.
Yeah.
So I had to, that's like,
kind of the whole point of the series.
Yeah, and I love the fuck Fairyland covers, and as much as I want to just continue to collect them, I'm like, no, there's other things I want to, like, stimulate me.
Right. It's like, it's this is actually kind of something that Greg Miller talked about on the Game Over Greggy show, of how he loves the independent, just so, like, this writer wants to do a Batman story, they're going to do a Batman story. And it's like 12 issues or one graphic novel, you're done. Like, I feel like I'm starting to want like that more. Just that format in general, just because, one, it doesn't matter what the lore was before that. I think it's also, like, I think Metal is a fucking great idea. But like you said, like, there's so much that Morrison that I've never read, other than Final Crisis, and even Final Crisis, I barely understood what the fuck was happening.
It takes a few reads.
It's like, I don't have time to go through and reread that whole 300-page graphic novel again with all the other stuff that's coming out constantly.
Yeah, and like, I tell people on Reddit, like, you know, or people are like, is Metal as overhyped as they say it is? I'm like, no, this is a love letter.
It's just so complex that you need all, you need like the footnotes too. Yeah. Like, here's what actually is going on.
I feel bad because I think I scared a person out of reading it, because it's like, I'm like, to really understand every single thing that's going on, it's, you need to read Infinite Crisis, Final Crisis, quite a bit of Morrison's Batman, and Snyder and Johns' Batman as well. And then it's like, it was really weird seeing people comment on Reddit. It's like, who is this guy on the last page? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, how do you not know? And it's like, that character in his own series hasn't been seen since 1996. That character hasn't been seen since Grant Morrison last used him in a 3-issue arc of JLA. And I'm like, but how do you not know that? Like, I had to do some research still. And it's like, okay, I know who this is, but why?
Right.
And that's all, that's like part of the comic book news cycle this past week, was like, insert blank has appeared and Scott Snyder's here to talk about it. And it's like, yeah, I wrote so-and-so a long email. And the guy just replied, yeah, that's great. Go ahead and use them. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, cool.
And it's incredible that he got to use him.
Right. I think that's one problem that the big two have just been suffering from for years, is just how extensive the lore is, and how, as cool as it is when Scott Snyder brings in all these complex ideas from Morrison, mm-hmm. and it's like, we're reintroducing all these things that were laid out but never touched for again after Morrison was done.
Yeah, like when when they laid out the Multiversity map,
I'm like, oh my god, it's Multiversity!
And then they flip it over, I'm like, oh my god, it's a black page! But yeah, like, joking around, I was in our household, we all read The Forge and the Casting, and I'm like, guys, hyper adapter! And you're like, that sounds like a fucking stupid name, all right? Barbados, who was recently mentioned in Nightwing. Who's Barbados? He's Hyper Adapter. And I haven't even talked to Kayla about Metal. Like, I want her to read that. I don't want to talk to her about it, just because mm-hmm. it's like such a crazy unique experience in that first issue, because it is that Metal. It makes you think and engage. Like, the first bit, it's like, oh man, look at this wild ride. Oh my god, Batman's in a Megazord. And then it's like, oh my god, Hawkman's journal. What does it mean? Oh my god, the challenges of the unknown. Oh my god, Red Tornado said something. Oh my god, this is just like 52 all over again. Oh my god. And I'm the only one in the house making those connections.
And it's just, yeah, it's really daunting. And it's at what I liked where Metal is going. And I'm very curious. It's still good enough for me to like it and enjoy it. I wish I understood all those other things. But
again, it's like an extra treat to the people that do.
It is. But at the same time, it's like, to go back to the core of the topic, like, I feel like I'm starting to enjoy more solo, like, or new independent titles, because I can just jump into it. I can start at number one, get the whole story. There's no previous lore I have to fucking figure out.
I think Steven's awake.
He just walks in near the end. Like Saga, like, I started Saga when it was around, like, probably issue 26 or something,
right?
And then I
never finally got that number one.
No, because they're still fucking $200 everywhere. It's ridiculous. Eventually, one day, maybe I'll finish out that collection. I'm only missing like 4 issues.
Oh god.
Yeah, I know. It's a big the problem is that like anything in the first arc is like $20 an issue, and then number one is $200. It's dumb. Or even again, Sunstone. I love the book so much, and I'm going to be sad. Like, I just wanted to keep going.
And that's when you read Mercy and realize,
yeah, I mean, Mercy, like, Mercy's pages. Yeah, Mercy's going to be the same, the continuation of essentially of that story, just from Alan and Anne's perspective. Now
it starts with Alan in college meeting Alan.
Right. But yeah. From, what I've actually read from, I dove headfirst into like all of Sedgwick's stuff. Mm-hmm. And his official, like, even on the Image site, is the focus is going to be Alan and Anne, with Lisa and Allie showing up to also and give Alan more backstory as well. It's pretty Alan much Moore. Alan. It's yeah, Alan Moore. It's Alan's side of the story after where Sunstone ends.
Yeah, you know how like they keep trying to hook up Anne with Alan in like the first couple of volumes.
Yes,
they meet. You think you see their first meeting in volume 5 or volume 4, one of the two, and they're like, wait, they already know each other?
Oh, wait, are you talking about when he's on the date in the Halloween party?
Yes, they're like, oh, like, so wait, we meet again.
Who the hell is that? Is that supposed to be Marion? You're not going to spoil it for me, though, are you?
No, it's not. But you see Alan and Amy, and it's like, oh, we want to introduce you to our friend Alan. It's like, oh, yeah, we've already met. It's like, when? I read everything in one sitting. So yeah, like I said, I love Sunstone, and I'm kind of glad I drove you down with me.
Oh yeah, I'm so glad I've joined you in that hole.
Yeah, and it's like the few people I want to talk about. I made a post in like one of the Facebook groups, and no one commented aside from John saying it's so good. I'm like, I want it.
Like, I don't Like, I don't think I've had such an emotional response to a book like this since, mm-hmm. like, I first... This is going to sound weird. Since I first read Sex Criminals.
Yeah.
Like, Sex Criminals just, like... it just spoke to me in some weird fucking
way.
Well,
that's when we were, like... This was before we... This was the grand opening of Hall of Justice. When
yeah.
they were moving all the comics
yeah,
in.
I bought number...
You were like, do you want to come? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Well, no, I was like, oh, I got to pick up stuff from the owner. That was like the first time I actually like met him in person.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so bad because he kept that. He asked me like twice before. He's like, hey, you want to start up a pull with us? We don't have a brick and mortar shop yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah, and like I knew a couple of people then. And it's like, oh, so you show up after all the hard work and lifting? I'm like...
Wasn't intentional.
Yeah, I didn't know. But I'll take a slice of pizza. Yeah. So it's really cool. Like, I love these indie comics coming out. And, like, my indie stack's larger than my Marvel stack.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
And if any indie title went, like, twice a month shipping, like...
Good lord.
If something like...
I feel like Saga could do it. Like,
because
reasonably.
Saga takes so long breaks.
Yeah.
Such long breaks.
Well, I mean, they take like 1 or 2 month breaks usually, but I mean, it just seems like it comes out so quick and regularly. Like, I feel like they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they want to, but they could.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
What is your topic? Because you kind of built it up beforehand.
Okay, this is incredible. So this starts 1 year ago.
Oh, Lord.
User lay-click. Commented on Bill Gates's Ask Me Anything. He had the top rated comment at 21,000 votes. He got 2 gold. Mr. Gates, can we please have another Age of Empires? Not sure if this is your department, but I figured I asked since you were here. Thanks. Edit. Bill, please, I know you can see this. Edit 2. First gold, thanks, stranger. Just shows goes to show the power of Reddit. One of the most powerful people on the planet came here to discuss humanitarian issues, and all he wants to do is discuss video games. User, this is Bill Gates, replied. I will look into this. How many empires do you need? 5 gold. 7 months ago. Hey, Bill. So what's the status of Age of Empires game you said you would look into last time? 6.6K upvotes. User Bill Gates replies, 3 months after the initial comment. I know it's been ages since user LayClick began this campaign, but I hope to have an answer for you. Hopefully it'll be worth the wait. And on that day, he announced on the Reddit thread the Age of Empires Definitive Edition. And keep in mind, Age of Empires 2 actually still gets updates. Like, this is a game that used to run on XP and Vista and gets regular content updates with new empires and everything else.
Well, it's Blizzard. Hang on. Blizzard did the same thing with the original StarCraft. Like, they kept updating it until the remaster came out recently.
And now, Gamescom was this week.
It's still going on.
Yeah.
Just started.
So today, at Gamescom 2017, we celebrated our 20-year anniversary of Age of Empires franchise, shared with some exciting news on the Age of Empires Definitive Edition. We are proud to announce that the original Age of Empires will be launched later this year on October 19, 2017, built as an homage to PC gamers everywhere. Age of Empires Definitive Edition will show the classic at its best exclusively for Windows 10. And then they also announced Definitive Editions for Age of Empires 2, and of Age of Empires 3. And then they showed a trailer. Keep in mind, Microsoft Studios went down after the first Halo Wars game.
Well, Microsoft Studios is still around. But they're mostly a publisher.
They got rebranded again, kind of. We are thrilled to continue the growing empire and excited to share that we are working with Relic Entertainment on a brand new title for the Age of Empires franchise. Age of Empires 4.
So this is why it was the top thing on Reddit this morning.
Relic Entertainment has a wealth of experience in creating high-quality RTS games and making them the ideal partner to develop for with. We are thrilled to be working with them and can't wait for fans to see their unique and exciting contributions to the Age of Empires franchise. For all of you who have remained faithful fans of the Age of Empires franchise over the last 20 years, we say thank you. We cannot wait to bring you the next chapter of history. a year ago, someone asked Bill Gates about Age of Empires, and he said he'll look into it.
My God, did he.
Fighting and curing malaria, Bill Gates somehow trickled in, comments on a post 3 years later saying, hey, I hope this makes you feel better. Here's the definitive edition. And then we have Age of Empires 4 being announced. Like, I was in shock that Age of Empires 2 still got updates with the Africa tribes and kingdoms. And then 3 kind of just like faded into obscurity. And then, you know, Civilization, I played that for a while. But it's like a game like this resurrected itself, not necessarily because of a Reddit thread, but because of like fan wants and desires. Even games like Sonic Mania, like Steve was talking about, mm-hmm. a fan-made game, brought Sonic out of obscurity. And, you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, Sonic was never a good game in the first place, but people are like going crazy over it. And then we also have Crash Bandicoot coming back. And it's like, holy shit, the 90s are back again, as well as the 80s and the 70s, apparently. And it was just such a weird and surreal moment to be like, holy shit, a video game from my childhood, like my actual young childhood is coming back. And that brings my discussion topic of a video game being resurrected from obscurity. Because we've even seen that with Beyond Two Souls. Divinity? Original Sin?
Yeah.
It
was a crowdfunded thing.
Oh, no, that's not it then. What was the one with the monkey in the E3 trailer? The pig and the monkey.
Oh, Beyond Good and Evil, which may or may not still exist. We're not really sure at this point.
It exists.
We've been told that it exists, but we have not seen anything since.
We've seen that trailer.
That's it.
And they even said they started development.
Scalebound had a trailer. Now Scalebound's dead.
That's fair. But something like Beyond Good and Evil, it came out on the original Xbox, mm-hmm. and now it's been resurrected again to be like this.
I don't believe it until I see actual gameplay of it.
That's fair. But like even just seeing the cinematic trailer, it's like, oh my God, it's real again. So if there were a game for you that come out, like, I wish I had Steve here. This would be a great Steve topic, too. What would you think, or what game would you want to come back from obscurity?
Who? This is going to be a weird one. I would love to see a Warcraft 4. Like, not World of Warcraft, Warcraft.
It's funny that both of our topics revolve around these RTS games.
I think it's because it's like, that was like a lot of what you had for early PC gaming,
mm-hmm.
like the 90s were a lot of RTS games.
Yeah, dude, freaking Red Alert, Command and Conquer.
Yeah, there's so many Command and Conquers.
I love them.
But yeah, I mean, I loved Warcraft 3. That's actually one of the things that got me into World of Warcraft, aside from my friend telling me about it, and getting me to play. I played on a crappy computer that barely could run anything.
MapleStory destroyed my first computer.
Oh, MapleStory. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be really cool to see a Warcraft 4. I don't think it's ever going to happen, though, just because...
We saw Diablo 3.
What?
I said we saw Diablo 3.
Yeah, but that's... I mean, dungeon crawlers are still pretty relatively popular, I would say. I mean, mm-hmm. people still play them a bit. I feel like RTS is kind of a dying genre. Like, there's that core audience that loves RTS.
Right.
But for the most part, it seems like it's just kind of falling off.
I feel like Sid Meier's is the only one who, like, his studio is the only one who, like, constantly develops these new proprietary things, like, with all the Civ games. And, yeah, I mean.
The joke answer, of course, is Half-Life 3, which will never exist.
I wasn't even going to say that this time.
It's never going to happen.
For me, like, seeing Age of Empires come back was amazing. We even saw, like, a kind of resurrection of Harvest Moon with Stardew.
Yeah, pseudo. It's a pseudo resurrection.
I guess, like, this fits into my whole joke of time management is my kink. Because I love RTS games. I love sitting there and planning. Or back in the Halo Wars days, sitting there being a troll and sending a warthog army with our buddy Nick.
Oh, what? They countered me? I gotta counter them now.
Yeah, rock, paper, scissors for life. But the game I want to see come back would be a full console-based Pokemon RPG. And I know Game Freak says, yeah, we're working on it. It's
happening.
And even more, the guy who, or Game Freak, one of the studio execs came out and it's like, yeah, honestly, don't expect this anytime soon because we want to make sure it's perfect for our Pokemon console-based fans. Like, we got Shaft in the Wii U generation. We got Pokken Tournament.
We never got a Pokemon Coliseum.
In Super Smash Brothers. The Wii had, like, a Pokemon Ranch kind of thing, but they never had, like, a Coliseum or a Shadow of something. It featured Dark Lugia, and I thought that was the coolest shit ever. And you had to purify your Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Now I remember that one.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's so weird seeing all these games come back. Even Homebound. Like, that was another classic RT or RTS game that I modded so all of the command ships look like Gundams. But they released a new one, and it's like, yeah, instead of a three-dimensional space RTS, you're stuck on a desert planet. New system. I'm like, time management is my king.
Okay, this is going to be weird, especially, like, this wasn't in the news that we added, but the Mass Effect Andromeda team is done updating the game. Like, the last patch they put out is the last thing.
1.10?
I think it's 1.20, but...
Oh, it literally is, like, the top thing on Reddit right now.
Yeah.
I didn't even see this when I saw the Bill Gates thing.
This is going to be weird for me, but whenever if Mass Effect ever makes a revival, which I don't know how long that'll be, since everyone just has such a sour taste in their mouths from it. Casey Hudson said he's not done with it personally. Like, he would love to go back to that universe. That's probably going to be mine years down, like maybe 5 or 10 years.
It's so unfortunate because it's like, some people are like, I wonder if this is the plan all along. I'm like, fuck, it wasn't. The Corian arc would have been the first DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And they were building Jawl up so much and I never used him.
He was okay.
And it's like, it's sad to think about it like that, because if you look at BioWare titles now, it's like Dragon Age.
Dragon Age 4 better be fucking amazing or we're screwed.
Yeah, even David Gator is like, as he's playing The Witcher, it's like, I wish Dragon Age could have been this. And it's...
You still have time. Do it.
Yeah.
Give me Witcher Dragon Age.
Well, it's like, Dragon Age, for one thing, was built on reused assets and then rebuilt from the ground up.
In the Frostbite engine, which, when you think about it that way, and from what I've heard about the Frostbite engine, it's really hard to work with animation-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that Dragon Age did pretty well, I would say, and it looks gorgeous. Everything worked fine.
It makes you wonder, like, if Andromeda was delayed 2 more months.
I think if they did the 6, it still wouldn't... I still think it would have been pretty average, but I don't think it would have been as negatively viewed.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like the No Man's Sky effect. Like, if No Man's Sky came out to what it is today, like, I feel like that's a completely different experience. You're playing
today during our breaks at work. We all gathered around someone's PC. He installed Steam and we were watching him play No Man's Sky, and it's like, God, this game looks like, radically different.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it would have been a game you picked up.
It probably would have been. Like, time management, like, just that Minecraft
resourcing and building. You can get a freighter.
I'm heating up right now. just keep talking, please. It's like I said,
I've reached max efficiency.
Oh, gotta travel to the center of the universe and reset everything now.
Oh God, I wish Kayla listened to this regularly just to get all this.
Kayla has to deal with me in person. She has to sleep in the same bed as me occasionally.
She doesn't have to. She chooses to. So it's...
Well, there's the one... I woke up once and she was on the floor. I'm like, why are you on the floor? You kicked me out of the bed. I'm like, how's that possible? You slept against the wall. And she's like, yeah, how was that possible? I'm like...
You tell me. Yeah. Mister, I deadlift probably twice her weight.
Yeah. Yeah, Zach Strong. But there's another game I was thinking about. Like, I would love to see another, like, Metroidvania kind of styled game
Metroidmania or Metroidvania.
Like the Castlevania Metroid-style side-scrollers. Gotcha. And we're getting another Metroid game, which is shocking. Game, yeah, it's a first person. But Metroid...
I'll take it after what Other M...
Never had a Wii U title.
No, because Other M was such a disaster.
They had a DS title. That was... We don't talk about it. But it's like a weird renaissance in games where everything is old is new again.
Yeah, It's the nostalgia thing, which I'm kind of getting tired of very quickly. Like, because everyone loses their mind about it. But it's like, I don't want to play the old game. I played those games when they were out.
Right.
I don't want to play them again.
It's like, do you like this for the nostalgia effect or do you like this because it's a good game? And that I'm afraid to play Crash Bandicoot because it's like, I had such good fond memories of it. And then watching other people play it, it's like, yeah, this looks exactly like what I played. It's nothing new.
I've only bought one remaster, and it was Zone of the Enders, because
that game's like oh god,
it's an aneurysm. It's a very interesting game. I mean, it's a Kojima game.
Yeah.
But the only reason I bought it was because I played it with I did the multiplayer with my friend. I never played the single player. So I'm like, oh, that's finally out. I can go play that game. And I actually, for the most part, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was a cool, fun little mech, like flying around mech RPG. Right. Not RPG, but mech action game.
Oh, shit. Zoo Tycoon Ultimate Animal Collection announced for Xbox Play Anywhere. Can't wait.
Why is Play Anywhere getting such these fucking games? Give me something I care about.
Age of Empires is going to be... Well, that's going to be a Windows 10 release.
The problem with the Play Anywhere, though, is Brandon was telling me this, is that the servers are different from multiplayer, so yeah. I only want single-player games for this.
Yeah, Brandon and I played... We played Halo Wars 2 on... We talked about it. We both played it on PC, but his PC wouldn't run multiplayer, so we got to switch to Xbox, and that was the first time I played Halo Wars 2 with a controller. And I'm like, I don't know how to do anything.
How do I play...
But, like I said, there's a lot of games that are coming out. Like, the thing that I'm very hopeful for is the new Battlefront, because I saw the new Space Combat trailer. I'm like, this is what it should have been. Like, I'm so hyped.
Yeah,
it
looks like they've captured what people wanted for it, but they've made it actually new, which is something I'm okay with more than just the straight remaster. Yeah, I mean, it's like, again, I played those games already. I barely have enough time for the games I already bought. Like, I don't have time to go back and play a game that I've already played multiple times, probably.
Yeah.
It's like the original Mass Effect trilogy. It's like, as much as I enjoyed it, if they ever did, like, a full HD, 4K re-release, I probably still wouldn't play it, because I've literally played that whole trilogy 7 times.
Yeah, and you have the fond memories of you playing it originally.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need to play it again.
Yeah, that's like my problem playing. I think I've bought every remaster for Final Fantasy. Whether or not I've played them, it's like... Actually, I haven't bought Zodiac Age yet, because that was one of the ones I barely played. Because, you know, Van, whatever, fuck him. Like, Tidus for life. But it's like... I have such fond memories of playing them and then seeing them upscaled, like seeing 10 on a whole new playing field. I'm like, this is what I imagined the game to look like back when I was 12. And I'm glad to be to experiencing this again. So I think Square is the only thing where nostalgia hits me, and Pokemon probably, like those JRPGs.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because, you know, they're my time sinks. Like, I play Pokemon, not for the story, except Sun and Moon story was amazing, but because I have this this OCD need to have them all. Like, it's crazy when people are like, are you OCD? I'm like, I think I might be. It's like, you have all of your Pokemon in order. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't want to delve into that, but people... kind of say they're OCD when they're not really.
Yeah, I'm
OCD is completely different. You're just more of, you just want things. And
yeah, I'm a very compartmentalized person, and
yeah,
that's the way
it's just
I think.
That the
satisfaction.
No, that's not the word.
Sophistication. Satisfaction.
Oddly satisfying.
oddly satisfying feeling.
Yeah, just seeing everything perfectly align.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm not going to self-diagnose myself ever, but it's like I have such a crazy and drastic personality that like I need things in a certain way. Like when I came home and washed the dishes and then left.
I was going to do those before you got home, and then I was in the middle of an Overwatch match.
That's a lame excuse.
I know.
But yeah, like I said, nostalgia is a weird thing.
I'm starting to view nostalgia is, it's like a candy bar. You don't need it. You enjoy it though. And it tastes good for a little bit, but after a while, if you keep getting it over and over, it gets really old really quick.
Yeah, I was gonna say those are like some friends from high school. It's like you feel nostalgic about all the good memories, and it's like, no, you stop talking to me. Fuck you.
Yeah, there's a lot of memories where I'm like, yeah, that probably actually fucked me up quite a bit now that I think about it. Reflecting how I respond to things now. Yes. Is this Sunstone?
I just showed Zach a picture, which is great for our audio podcast.
From the anime IRL.
Yeah. All right. I think we've talked enough.
Yeah. Let's do recommendations. I haven't done that for a couple weeks. We keep forgetting about it.
Yeah. It's really hard not to just say DC Metal. Like, I've been in the first issue I fell in love with really hard. And then it's really hard for you not to say Sunstone. But Something New, Something Blue, Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2 came out this past week.
What a rhyme.
And it's kind of delving. It shows me everything that I love about Peter and Miles. Like, they're quippy together. They have like the older brother, younger brother kind of feeling with them when they're just talking smack to Taskmaster. But what got me hyped over the entire series as a whole is everyone on Tumblr is asking, hey, Bendis, whatever happened to Ultimate Peter and Ultimate MJ? And then he just posted the cover for Spider-Man issue 5 and it said, and then didn't say anything else. And it's like, what do you mean? Why?
Why would you tease us like this?
Do you realize that's in 3 more months? Can't handle it, man. Yeah, it's such a great story, and I love Peter, and I love Miles, and I wish they got to interact more together. So, that's my pick.
Neat. God, I read through everything in one day this last week, just because I wanted to get back to Sunstone. Nerd. Yeah, Metal's great. Black Monday Murders came out. I mean, that came out last week, but I mean, it's at the halfway point. Still fucking bizarre, still fucking crazy good. Like, there's just so... It's building up very, very quick.
Ooh, wait, can I change my answer?
Sure.
Since we talked about indie titles, Killer Be Killed by Brubaker and Phillips. The very first issue, we see the main character go, like, on a murder rampage.
Rampage!
In this issue, we see the same rampage, and the character's like, I know what you're thinking. Didn't we see this already in the first issue? And it kind of goes along. It's like, but we have to get to this point. And you have to understand why I picked up the gun again. And it's like the character learned that the demon he saw that told him he had to kill someone once a month was probably just in his head when he was taking the wrong medicine for his mental health. And it's like, and now he's seeing a psychiatrist. He's on his proper meds. He's trying to live a normal life. He actually retired as the killer vigilante. And it's like the Russians are still looking for him. And then someone's like, hey, Do you know this guy? Do you know this girl he always hangs out with? He's like, I got to do something about that. He's like, hey, man. He's like, yeah, you're looking for Dylan? How do you know Dylan? He's Dylan. And it's like, oh, we used to be friends in college. It's like, okay, sure. Just cuts him in the throat, repeatedly stabs him in the car, and then stabs a pumpkin because it's Halloween, and he's wearing a Nixon mask. And it's like, all right, I killed a person again. Shit. So then it's no longer like the demon provoking him to kill people. That's
fucking fascinating. That 180 it makes.
Yeah, and we actually had like 2 calm, peaceful issues before it's like, here's the beginning of the end again. And I'm like, oh God, Brubaker just writes such awesome noir stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm nostalgic for noir stuff. It's just like, it's just such a kick-ass indie title.
Yeah. I mean, okay, you already said it's hard for me, but I'm I'm 4 volumes in. I'm all on the last volume. Fucking read Sunstone. It's so good.
I remember teasing Tim. I'm like, we're all at the midnight release. And I'm like, yeah, Zach's carrying around sex comics.
It's like, I don't care.
And then I flip through your thing. And then Tim was like, wait, was that a ball guy? Is that really a sex comic? I'm like, yeah, yeah, it's beautifully done. Look at it.
Yeah. I mean, there's some actually pretty elaborate scenes. And then then it's like, all right, we don't need to see it. We know what happens.
Freaking Tanya looking like Xerxes. Yeah. That was funny. I just laughed.
God, oh, man. The scene where Allie and Lisa like, all get drunk and they call Cassie.
What's
that? Go to hell, you fucking clam jibbers. It's like, that's the greatest line I've read.
Yeah. Going to say that at the next HOA meeting.
There you go. Oh, man. Yeah, it's just... It's such a good romance story. The art's beautiful. Like you said, like when Cedric just decides, all right, I'm going to go hyper-realism here. It's like some of the most gorgeous thing I've ever, like just pages I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you get weirded out by like just reading about sex and seeing it, you might have a hard time reading it.
Sex is important in volume 5.
Yeah, I mean, it's important throughout the whole story because it's, like, one of the foundations of their relationship.
It's a love story featuring BDSM, but, like...
Yeah, and I mean, it's an important aspect to the characters.
Especially in Volume 5, though. I know you haven't gotten there yet, but, like, after the thing happens, Lisa starts leaving clues in the stories that she writes. Hmm. So it's, like, you need to read through some of, like, the BDSM stuff... dialogue, and it's like, it was really funny because Allie has the perfect reaction. He's like, what does this mean? Is this subtext? Am I supposed to understand this? It's wonderful.
Yeah, I pointed it out to Jim when he was over this weekend, but I've just started taking like excellent reaction images.
Oh yeah,
like I'm just like, this comic just keeps giving me great things. Like I just copied one today that Cedric posted on his Twitter a while back,
mm-hmm.
of Allie and her cast is like, just imagine the middle one's up.
Yep.
Just like, that's a good one to keep.
Yeah. All right. We're going to end it here.
It's late. I need to eat.
I need to stare at the sun again, but it's down and the eclipse has been over for 10
hours. All right. We'll block out the sun.
Our moon will block out the sun. So thank you guys as always for listening to us. You can follow us on the usual things. We have an iTunes, we have a Google Play, we have a SoundCloud, and we also have a YouTube. And shout out to all like 37 of you that just recently followed
Welcome.
Us. Welcome to our madness, and we hope you stay. Please stay. No matter how much I say, I'm sorry that you listen to us. We love you. We really do. And with that, please leave a 5-star rating or a thumbs up or give us a like or a comment.
Tell us what you like.
Tell us what you like so we can do more of it.
Or tell us what you want us to maybe even do. Like, I don't know, random talking points or something.
Yeah, do you like when we just go off like these large tangents or do you like...
I'm liking it as of late.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like it's like when we don't force it, when we actually have good things to talk about.
Yeah, like when there's nothing and it's like, what should we do? Do we just want to do this? Like we plan an hour ahead.
Yeah.
Not that we plan an hour ahead. We actually plan like 5 hours ahead.
Depends.
At the gym when we don't talk to each other, when we're both on like the treadmill or elliptical. But yeah, like I said, if you guys like it, let us know and we can do more of it. And we like doing this podcast because people like listening to us and we want to do it. It is fun. I was going to make a joke that I was muted the entire time.
just like make you cry. Just this faint noise.
It's like my coworker who met me. It's like, I heard about you. You're all dry humor, right? I'm like, yeah. It's like, that's actually all there is to my personality. It's just dry humor.
You don't even know.
And it's like,
don't even know.
Were you being sarcastic there? I'm like, absolutely. It's like, is that sarcasm?
You've already ruined him. Yeah. I feel so bad for him.
The emotional capacity of a handbasket. All right. Good night, guys.
Peace.